from Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
This morning we have a special treat. You are taking a break from me. We have a student from the Brown Trail School of Preaching, Brother Troy Mathis, a student that we are supporting as a congregation. Him and his family are here. It's a great blessing to have him and his family. And I don't want to take up too much of his time. Brother Troy, come preach the word.
Thank you for that introduction, and thank you for having us. Thank you for your support. I have to say thank you for your support, for allowing us, for allowing me to go to school, and for us to be here, and for me back home in Texas. I also have to say thank you. We were supposed to come here in December, but we had some very serious medical issues, and Amy is recovering. And she is up to traveling now, so most of the time when I go preach, she's able to come with us. So thank you for your patience and waiting till March to bring us here, and thank you for your prayers. Amy was healed only by prayers, and we thank you for the prayers that were offered on her behalf. I also have to mention, I'm probably related to some of y'all. My dad has been a preacher my entire life. He grew up in Sigaville. Wayne Mathis, the son of Troy Mathis, the brother of Larry Mathis, who's a former elder at Sigaville. His mom, my grandmom, Pauline Smith Graham. So if you know that family, the Pettys, the Curvies, the Mathis, that's me. So we are probably related, or I'm probably related to some of y'all out here today. But it is good to be back, and it is good here to be here Sunday worshiping the Lord. How many of y'all can remember back in grade school? And at recess or before school, we would line up to play kickball, and everybody would line up against the wall, and two captains would be picked, and they would just start choosing people. He would pick teams and just start choosing. And do you remember standing up there against the wall, just kind of shaking, waiting to get chosen? And finally, the captain would point at you, "Yes, I've been chosen." And just remember how good it felt to be chosen. We didn't do anything special. We didn't try out. It's just we got chosen. And remember that feeling. How good it felt to be chosen. Israel, the children of Israel, were God's chosen people. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Moses points this out to the children of Israel. Now, in Deuteronomy, if you remember, they're about to cross the Jordan River. They're about to enter the Promised Land. They've been rescued from bondage, from slavery in Egypt, and they crossed the Red Sea, and they spent 40 years in the wilderness, and now they're right on the banks of the Jordan. They're about to cross over the Jordan. They're about to conquer the Promised Land, and Moses is now, and basically through Deuteronomy, he's going to give a recap of what's happened since everybody left Egypt. If you remember when they left Egypt and God sent the 12 spies in, and said, you know, go check out the land that I'm going to give you. Well, Joshua and Caleb came back and said, okay, let's take it. We can do this. But the 10 spies gave a bad report. And the 10 spies convinced everybody else, said, no, we're not going to do it. We can't take it. And so God punished Israel and said, you are not going to cross the Jordan. And so everyone 20 and above passed away, except for Joshua and Caleb. And so now Moses, before the children cross, he's kind of reviewing to those who were born in the wilderness, to those who were 20 and younger at the time, and he's explaining what's happened. He's explaining to this new generation what they're about to receive. And he starts, as we read in the scripture this morning, from Deuteronomy 6, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. It says, memorize this, study this, teach this to your children. And now here in chapter 7, beginning in verse 6, Moses tells the people, this new generation, he tells them, you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Now imagine that. God chose Israel. Out of all the nations God could have chosen, he chose Israel. Verse 7, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, but you were the fewest of all peoples. But it's because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath he swore to your fathers that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So he's telling this new generation who's about to enter the promised land, God chose you simply because I love you. And God also is fulfilling a promise that he made to Abraham way back in Genesis 12. Remember in Genesis 12, God called Abram and said, leave your country, leave your kindred, leave your family, and go to a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. Well, now it's happening. The people are about to cross the Jordan, and Moses is talking to the children of Israel. Love the Lord your God. Now, turn with me to Deuteronomy 10. The people were chosen simply because God loved them, not because of anything they did. But God loved Israel. But God had some conditions. Deuteronomy 10, beginning in verse 12, read about five things that God required of his children before they crossed into the Jordan. Deuteronomy 10, beginning in verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. So this morning, I want to look at the five requirements that God had and has for his chosen people. Number one, what does the Lord your God require of you? Fear the Lord your God. Literally, Yahweh, your Elohim. Yahweh, the name of God. The name so revered, so respected. Remember, they wouldn't even write the entire name out. They would just write out the consonant. But Yahweh, the name of God, your Elohim, the essence of God, the God, the Savior, the three in one, if you will. When Moses mentions this to the children of Israel, he's not telling them to fear the Lord in a sense of dread or terror, but a sense of reverence, a sense of awe, a sense of respect. a sense of deep respect for his power, for his holiness, for his majesty. The positive relationship of just wanting to be with him, to be near him, to love him, to be obedient to him. When Moses mentions that we're to fear the Lord our God, it requires us to trust him completely. You remember, for 40 years, people have been wandering through the wilderness. But God has taken care of them. You remember how God fed them with manna, with quail. Remember when they needed water, he would draw water from a rock. And we read elsewhere that even the soles on their shoes didn't wear out. I don't know about y'all, but I don't think I can go the next 40 years without a new pair of shoes. These people have been wandering in the wilderness and not even the soles of their shoes have worn out. So Moses is telling the people of Israel to love the Lord your God, to fear the Lord your God. Trust him completely. Recognize his authority. And recognize that he will care for us. Second thing that's required, we're to fear the Lord your God, we're to walk in all his ways. In the 119th Psalm, verse 1, the psalmist writes, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. This walking implies moving. It implies going forward. But it says we're to walk in his ways. Before we came to Brown Trail, I was a preacher at a small congregation in southern New Mexico, up in the mountains of southern New Mexico in the Lincoln National Forest. It was beautiful country. But we're in the middle of a national forest and national and state parks, and there were plenty of trails that we could go walking on. But what do you do if you're a hiker? What do you do when you go walking on a hiking trail? Well, you have to stay on the path. You have to follow the path that's laid out. What happens if you get lost or you get arrogant and you say, no, I want to go my way, and you turn one way, or you turn the other way, and you turn off the path? Well, you could just be wandering in this wilderness and the thickness and the woods and the trees for hours or days. But no, when we're walking in these paths, we have to follow the path. We have to follow the plan that's laid out for us so we can make it safely through. Well, this is what God is telling the children of Israel through Moses, to walk in his ways, to follow God's path. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7? That wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to righteousness, and few are those who find it. We have to stay on the straight and narrow. We have to stay on the path. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all that the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may have good success wherever you go. To follow the path, to walk in his ways, to walk the way that God would have us to walk. Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Brothers and sisters, there's not a better way. We cannot come up with a better way. And this is what Moses is telling the people of Israel before they cross the Jordan, before they're given the promised land. They are to walk in his ways. Now let me ask you this, how are we to walk in his ways unless we know what his ways are? How do we know what his ways are? 2 Timothy 2:15, we're to study. We're to learn his ways. What did Moses tell them from the scripture reading? Remember back in Deuteronomy 6? To wear these commandments as frontlets to your eyes, to write them on your doorpost. To walk in his ways, we have to study so we know his ways. Number three, the third requirement. We're to fear the Lord your God, we're to walk in his ways, and then we are to love him. The word for love used in Deuteronomy 6, Moses said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, is the word agape. It's a complete, total, giving everything type of love. The word used here for love, it more implies to have affection for, to be a friend of, to be friends with. It's used, the word used here for love is used more in association of being a friend. And this is what Moses is telling the people of Israel. Be a friend to God. Let God be your friend. Have you ever considered that God wants to be your friend? And God wants us to be his friend? Yes, we're to love him and fear him and respect him and obey him and follow in his footsteps. But we want to be friends with God. And what do friends do with one another? Think about your friends. What do you do with your friends? You spend time with them. You pray for them. You care about them. You call them. You check up on them. You see what they need. You share your innermost thoughts with your friends. This is the type of relationship that we're to have with God. To spend time with him. To please him. To learn what we can from him. In John 15, Pat, keep your finger here and turn with me to John chapter 15. This is the night Jesus was betrayed. They've already partaken of the Lord's Supper. And now Jesus is speaking, giving his last sermon before he's taken away to be crucified. But look what he tells in John 15, verse 15. It says, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends." The night that Jesus was betrayed, he calls his 11 disciples. Judas is already gone at this time. He called his 11 closest apostles. He called them friends. This is the relationship that Moses is telling his chosen, God's chosen people to have with God. The fourth requirement, we're to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. This requires 100% effort, 100% of the time. Revelation 3:16 says, "So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth." When we serve the Lord, it's supposed to be all in. I'm sure many of us, whether in the workplace or at school or just in life in general, We can kind of tell when people are just going through the motions, when people are just kind of doing something just so they can get something done. There's really no heart, there's no feeling, there's no emotion put into it. And we can tell because the end result usually bears that out. That's not acceptable to God. That's not the requirement that Moses is telling the children of Israel, but to serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for man. Serve with all our heart, putting God first, everything with a deep affection and desire, putting God above all else. We're trying to please God and not man in everything we do. And do everything with all our soul. This means complete surrender. Sometimes there may be some things that we really don't feel like doing. But if we're serving the Lord with all our heart and all our soul, we will do what's required of us to do. Finally, the fifth requirement of God's chosen people, verse 13. Keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today. If you look back in the first four requirements, each of them imply this fifth one. They all require obedience and obedience to his command. We must actively observe and obey God's laws. Moses, if you read throughout the rest of Deuteronomy, as Moses is kind of recapping the past 40 years over and over and over and over again, he will remind the children of Israel who are about to enter the promised land to be obedient, to obey God, to keep God's commandments. Not to turn away, not to follow the laws of man or the ways of man, but to obey God. Throughout the New Testament, Jesus constantly talked about the need for obedience. Yes, obedience has to be done out of love and faith and not from a legalistic frame of mind. Remember the fourth requirement? Was to serve the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul. When we obey the Lord, it has to be with all our heart and all our soul too. Not just going through the motions, but to obey God because it's a commandment of God, because that's what pleases God. And obeying God's commands, it implies everything. Imperatives, his statutes, his decrees, his judicial decisions. We can't pick and choose what we like and we'll obey that and ignore the rest. We have to obey all of God's commandments. And we can do this by following the example of Jesus. Jesus was obedient, even obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We have to walk in God's ways. We have to be obedient to his commandments, regardless of the cost. The people of Israel were God's chosen people simply because God loved Israel and God was fulfilling a promise that he gave Abraham. This is what Moses told God's people before they crossed into the Jordan. I remember if you get into Joshua, and Moses passes away, and Joshua takes over, and Joshua leads the people into the promised land. And they start, and they conquer Jericho. And then they go throughout, and they conquer the promised land. And they're given the promise, saying, God, another promise of God is fulfilled. The people have received the promise. Look at what Joshua then tells his people in verse 5, beginning in Joshua 22, beginning in verse 4. Remember, Moses just mentioned these five requirements before they were given the promised land. And now they've crossed the Jordan, they've conquered the promised land. Joshua is now near death. And what does Joshua tell the people after they were given the promise of the promised land? Joshua 22, beginning in verse 4. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brothers as he promised them. Therefore, turn and go to your tents in the land where your possession lies, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. Verse 5. Only be very careful to observe the commandments and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to cling to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Brothers and sisters, the same requirements before they were given the promised land didn't change. They were given the same requirements after they were given the promised land. God's chosen people are required for those five things. What does that mean to us today? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. What does Peter tell us today? You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We are God's chosen people. Not because of anything we did. Not because we've earned it or deserve it, but simply because he loves us. Brothers and sisters, we have the same requirements today that Moses and Joshua gave the children of Israel all those years ago. I ask you this morning, are you still standing against the wall waiting to be chosen? Are you still waiting for that captain to just point to you and pick you and choose you? You don't have to be left standing against the wall. Perhaps you're at a point where maybe you know you're one of God's chosen. Your name has been written in his book. You've been added to his number, but maybe you stumbled. Maybe we haven't loved God the way we should have. Maybe we've turn to the left or turn to the right instead of staying on that path and following his ways. Maybe we haven't been a friend to God the way we should. We can pray for you. There's power in prayer. God wants you back. We can come pray for you. Or maybe you haven't taken that step. What are the five requirements today? Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of sin. And what will God do? He will add you to that number. Brothers and sisters, are you one of God's chosen? Do you need the prayers of the church so you can get back on the path that God wants us to be on? If we can help you in any way this morning, please let us know. Please come while we stand and sing.